I really hope and pray that is your desire. Those last words that we just sang, I will follow you. I hope that is our desire, to follow Jesus no matter what. It surely is, as Charles has said, it surely is good to see you. So good to see some of you that we haven't seen for a while, and I know there's a lot of our folks that are still not quite ready to come back. Good to have you this morning on Facebook Live. But it's always good to be here, and it's so good to see you this morning. Let's pray before we go any further. Thank you again, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful, beautiful morning. And thank you again that we can come like this and gather and worship and sing and pray and just fellowship one with another. Father, I pray that we would just worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. And I do pray, Lord, for those that want to come, haven't been able to. We pray that you would watch over them. Thank you for technology that can take these opportunities and present them even in our living rooms, on our smartphones, or wherever we're at. Thank you for that technology. Just something about being coming together to worship you like this that we are so thankful for, that we can do it again today. I do want to lift up the names on the prayer focus, Father. I do want to ask that you would be with each and every one in the journey that they find themselves in, the difficulties, the challenges. I just pray that you'd be with each and every one. I do pray again for those that have lost loved ones, Lord, over this last week or this period of COVID-19 or even longer. I pray that you'd comfort each and every one of those. Father, I do pray again today for revival in your church. Oh God, as Isaiah said that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh God, that you would pour out your spirit upon us again as you did at Pentecost, where people came alive in Jesus, where we lived for you, where we longed for more of you, and everything else was secondary. Father, I pray for a revival in your church in America and the globe. We pray for that today, O Lord. And we pray, Heavenly Father, too, for those that haven't yet found their way to the cross. Oh, maybe they've known about you, O God, but just haven't found their way to the cross and to Christ. I pray today, Father, that souls would be saved, souls would be rescued, and people would turn to Jesus and be born again. Oh, Lord, we sure need you in America. You know the conditions a lot better than we do. And I just want to pray again, Father, for our leaders, our president, our vice president, our leaders, our church leaders, our school leaders, our business leaders. I just pray, first and foremost, we'd look to you. And I just pray that you would lead us, Lord. But above all else, I pray that you would lead us to you, to a new dependence upon you. And so as we have gathered here this morning, Father, I thank you for each one here. Thank you for each one tuning in on Facebook Live. Thank you for those that maybe will listen to it sometime later. But we just thank you, Father, for the word that will go forth all over America, North America, and the globe today. Bless the pastors. Bless the message. May you, O God, be glorified. May souls come to the cross and to Christ. And may you revive your church. Guide us as we continue to look at Scripture and continue to worship you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the latest decision magazines, most of you are familiar with Billy Graham Evangelistic Association magazine called Decision. I read two of them while I was on vacation the other day. And one of the articles was called Revival with a question mark. The author is a very well-known pastor and author from Atlanta. His name is Michael Yosef. Have some of you heard of that name? Some of you have, yeah. Wonderful man of God. Writes lots of articles. And anyway, he wrote this article for Decision Magazine. He called it Revival? It's a great article. And I want to show, I'm actually going to put it on screen. I think we've got that ready, don't we, Tim? I'm actually going to put this, when I call, yeah, you go ahead and pull that one up. I'll alert you to the next one and the third one. I want you to see what he said in this article because I think it is so relevant. Here's what he said. For all Bible-believing Christians, the COVID-19 pandemic demands that we re-examine our priorities and learn the lessons God wants to teach us through this trial. This crisis has sent shockwaves through governments, economies, families, and countless lives. That's Pastor Joseph in that particular article. If you've been around here for the last 2 or 3 months, I have said things very similarly. And Pastor Joseph says in the next part of this, slide 2, what I have also said similarly these last 2 or 3 months. But he goes on, but this crisis did not catch God by surprise. He, that's God, is using the trial to get the attention of every human being on the planet, including all of us Christians. And then Pastor Joseph asks us this question, are we listening to what God is saying to us? Have we heard that before? I've been challenging us that through Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Are we listening to what God is saying to us as a nation, as a church, as people, as individuals? I'll have you bring up that third one in just a minute, but not yet. Further in that article, Pastor Joseph says this about revival. Remember, the title was Revival? And I quote, some have predicted that the COVID-19 pandemic will spark revival in the church. Well, revival might come to the church, but only if God's people remove the idols from their lives and get serious about obeying Jesus and staying true to God's word, to which I say, hallelujah. Next slide, please. And then he says this, there will be no revival in the church so long as we remain obsessed with entertaining ourselves, chasing wealth, and seeking sinful gratifications. There will be no revival in the church as long as we stay focused on worldly, political, and social agendas instead of the kingdom agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no revival in the church until we begin praying with and for our children while preparing them to stand firm in the troubled days ahead, which I say a hearty amen. As I was reading this article the other day, it seemed to me that this warning is not unlike the warning I remember reading about in Amos chapter 4. And so if you've got your Bible, Amos chapter 4 is what we're going to look at. And I know if you've been around here for any amount of time, some of you have, you will know that I have referred to Amos chapter 4 in the past, but it has been a while. And so I thought before, I want to start another series here in the next week or two from Revelation 2 and 3. But before I did that, I want us to be looking at Amos 4 again today. At least part of it. If you've never read Amos, it's just a little bitty book. I would encourage you to do that, to get to understand a little bit more about who Amos is, when he spoke, and to whom this book was written. But let me say very briefly, I think you know something about Amos. He was a sheep breeder from Tekoa in Judah. He was not a pastor. He was not a priest per se, but God used him as a prophet. He used him with a message, and he called him from his sheep flock back here south of Jerusalem to go to the northern kingdoms and to say to the northern kingdoms, thus saith the Lord. I have a word for you. And so you can learn about that as you read in this little book we call Amos. You see, God was fed up with the northern kingdoms. When you were here with me and we were going through the series through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, he is talking about Judah at that point, prior to them going to captivity to Babylon. The northern kingdoms, that whole picture unfolds prior to what I was talking about from Jeremiah. And they eventually get carried away by the Assyrians because of disobedience to God, because of sin. And God, in his mercy and grace, tried to get their attention and call them back to him, both the 10 tribes of the north and Judah in the south, over the time of the Old Testament history. He tries to call them back to himself. I believe that's what he's doing in America today. Trying to call a wayward people, a wayward nation, back to himself. Not that we were ever perfect. We were not. We will not be. But we have wandered far from God, in and out of the church houses of America. And I believe Pastor Yosef is absolutely right, as well as many, many other very intelligent authors. And when I read that, and I know what God said to his people through Amos, it brings to mind, is he saying the same thing to us? Amos chapter 4. I'm not going to read the first five verses, but you should. It is a scathing rebuke of his people. You can read it. I'm going to pick it up at verse 6, and I also am going to be in the New Living Translation. Charles used that the last couple of weeks. It's a good translation to help us kind of understand some of those things in the Old Testament, and sometimes the New, that are a little harder to understand, and so I have chosen the New Living Translation today also. Amos 4, verse 6, here's what he said. God, through Amos, to his people in the northern kingdoms. Kingdom, the northern tribes. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I'm going to go on in just a second, but notice the pattern here as I press on and read these verses. It's warning signs of God to his people. I have tried to get your attention. And after each warning that Amos says to the northern kingdom, the northern tribes, we have the same exact words from God, but still, you would not return to me. I have tried, he said. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I, this is God, kept the rain from falling when your crops needed it the most. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. Rain fell on one field while another field withered away. People staggered from town to town looking for water, but there was never enough. But still, you would not return to me, says the Lord. I struck your farms and your vineyards with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured all your fig and olive trees, but still, you would not return to me, says the Lord. And if that wasn't enough, or if that wasn't attention getters enough, God amps it up a little bit and he reminds them, over your history, Israel, my people, I sent plagues on you like the plagues I sent on Egypt long ago. I killed your young men in war and led all your horses away. If you read through that history, you know that God used the Syrians, as well as others, to chasten and chastise his northern kingdom, his northern tribes. And in so doing, God stirred those up, trying to get their attention, trying to call them to repentance and to return to the Lord. And he said in places, I've allowed your young men to be killed in these wars and led your horses away. The stench of death filled the air, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I destroyed some of your cities, as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those of you who survived were like charred sticks pulled from a fire, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I don't know what goes through your mind when you read things like this, but a couple things go through mine. What in the world is wrong with these people, for starters? And we're no different in 2020 America. I believe that God has sent us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, whether that's individually or a family or a city or a church or this nation, to repent and return back to Him. And He could say the same thing far as the masses go, but still you would not return to me. God is saying to His people, as I believe could very well be saying to us today, I have tried to warn you. I have sent opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to you for you to repent and return to me. And let me just interject here, because I've had this conversation with a lot of people, including in this town. Some people might say at this juncture, if that's how God is going to send this kind of stuff, going to allow people or even initiate people to be killed, I don't want anything to do with Him. I have had that conversation with people. And probably you have too. And so lest you go too far down that thought process, let me tell you what kind of God this is. This is a God who loves us too much to let us go on our own ways to destruction. Destruction today and destruction eternally. That's what kind of God this is. That will put obstacles in Jim's path when he's gone astray, or yours, or the church, or America. He will put stumbling blocks, and He will put obstacles, and He will put difficulty. Yes, this is initiated by God. We can wrestle all day. Well, God allow that? Did God initiate that? This is clear from Amos. God initiated this to try to get the attention of these His people, and each and every time He probably even amped it up a little bit more, and He would conclude at the end of the day, you still wouldn't come back. This is a God that loves us so intently He would send His Son to die on the cross for my sin and for yours. And this is a God who is so concerned about a nation or a church or a people or a person. He will in fact allow difficulty. He will in fact initiate difficulty in our lives so that we would turn to Him. That's the kind of God this is. I got to be with Teen Challenge on Tuesday. I love them guys. And I love it when I get to go back there and have chapel for them. They've seen some difficulties. Some of them lost it all. Their wives, their kids, their families, their livelihood, they've lost it all. And I told the men Tuesday morning, God loves you too much to let you continue on this pathway to destruction. God loves you too much to allow you to do your own thing. He will intervene with opportunity. As the prodigal said, I think Charles referred to this one of the last 2 weeks, and I did a while ago. He will give us the opportunity to come to our senses and return to Him. And sometimes those opportunities are painful. But that is the kind of God who we serve, the one that will love us too much to say, fine, have it your way, go do your own thing. He will put those stumbling blocks, those difficulties, He will initiate tragedy for me and you to return to Him. He will do it because He loves you. And hell is a long time. He loves us too much to let us go on that path to destruction. That's why He will send these kind of things to get our attention. Besides COVID-19, in America today, we've got unprecedented killing in the streets of our cities. We've got this pandemic about, and we're being told it's going to come back, and I even read this week where these people that are supposed to be in the know are saying there's another pandemic coming out of China. I don't know if there is or not. God knows. We have cities just right here in our community this summer alone where they're getting blasted with 8-10 inches of rain, and some places are drying and parched. The locust, you've heard about the locust in the Middle East and Africa? No? The locust in Africa are of biblical proportion. They're wiping out everything in its path. We have brothers and sisters in these faraway places that have nothing to eat because of locusts and pandemics and everything else. And I wonder, as I read from Pastor Yosef in his article, and I read from Amos, I wonder if God in His grace and His mercy and His love is trying to say to hundreds of millions of us today, America and beyond, I have given you a lot of opportunities to repent and to return to Me. I really wonder, friends, if we're not seeing exactly what Amos said to the northern tribes in their time. Do you wonder about that? I wonder about that. I wonder if it's not the exact same thing. And I could be wrong on this next point. I've been wrong before, believe me. But it seems to me, as a nation, we're not listening to the warning signs. It seems to me, we would rather continue to hate our neighbors, be destructive, and live in sin. It seems to me that we're not listening to the warning signs. I hope I'm wrong about this. I pray for revival. I've been praying for revival ever since COVID-19 hit. I thought, God, here's an opportunity for us to wake up and return to You. Obviously, Pastor Yosef has also. But it seems, from what I see, and I don't even like to watch the news. It's depressing. I don't watch the news on TV. I just see some on computer. It seems to me like we'd just rather hate, or we'd rather destroy property, or we'd rather kill each other than listen to the warnings of Almighty God and repent and return to Him. It seems like we'd rather do our own thing. I wholeheartedly agree with Pastor Yosef when he says, give me that last slide again, will you please? Slide number 3. I wholeheartedly agree with him when he says this, brothers and sisters, There will be no revival in the church so long as we remain obsessed with entertaining ourselves, chasing wealth, and seeking sinful gratification. There will be no revival in the church as long as we stay focused on worldly, political, and social agendas instead of the kingdom agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no revival in the church until we begin praying with and for our children while preparing them to stand firm in the troubled days ahead. You see, friends, in Amos chapter 4, God was telling Israel, I believe, I'm trying to bring a revival to your hearts. I'm trying to bring a revival to the nation of Israel, my people. And I have sent this, and I have sent that, and I have allowed this, and I have done that. And every single time, God answers through Amos to his own people, but you would not return to me. Charles' message last week reminded us of the mercy and the grace of God. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, part of his mercy and grace is to warn the wayward. Are you hearing me this morning? Part of his love and his grace and his mercy is to set up opportunities of difficulty for us to turn back to him. Charles is right. The scripture is right. God is merciful. He is graceful. He is compassionate. He is long-suffering. He is willing to forgive. And part of his mercy will warn the wayward believer. God will warn us through history. God will warn us through his word. God will warn us through his messengers. I've referred to three Old Testament ones lately. God will warn us when we've gone astray because he is merciful and long-suffering. But friends, I'm telling you, we cannot as a nation, as a church, as a city, as a family, or as an individual continue to do what is right in our own eyes and expect things to go well. We can't expect that. And so whether there are difficulties in your life or mine or America, whether they are initiated by God or allowed by God, I believe God is giving us opportunity to wake up, to repent, and to return to him. Franklin Graham said this the other day. I hope we don't go back to normal. Now, if he left it at that, you would think he lost his last marble. Or you would think I would if I left it at that. But he doesn't leave it at that. Listen to what he says. And I quote, I hope we don't go back to normal. If normal means a nation that continues to defy and rebel against God. A nation that is openly hostile to Christians. A nation that rejoices and revels in godless behavior, end quote. He said, I hope we don't go back to that, because that was not pleasing to God. And God was saying to Israel in Amos chapter 4, and perhaps to the U.S. today, I send these wake-up opportunities, because the way you're going is destructive. And you're getting further and further and further from me, the living God. And so, friends, I want to ask us this question before we sing and close in prayer. The same thing that I've asked us through the series of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Pastor Yosef asked, are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? Or are we going to be like Israel in Amos' time and do nothing about God's warnings? Are we listening? You say, Jim, what am I supposed to be listening for? Is he trying to redirect us as an individual, as a family, as a church, as a community, as a nation? And I believe the answer is yes. We have gone wayward. Are we listening to what he has for you, for me, for us? And friends, if you're here this morning or if you're listening Facebook Live today, and you've never surrendered completely to Jesus, I cannot emphasize how important that is. Repent of sin. Surrender to Christ. You say, Jim, I believe in God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you denied yourself, got yourself off the throne, and put God in his rightful place? Have you been born again? Are we allowing the Spirit to lead? Because they were not doing that in Amos's time. And as a nation, we've thrown God out. And so I'm asking us as individuals, are you right with God through faith in Christ? Have you repented of sin? Have you denied yourself and you said, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow Jesus. Come into my life and take over. Take control. Lead me by your Spirit. Save me. Forgive me. Lead me on. Because that's what he sends these things for, to get our attention. Apostate Christians and those that have never found their way. He sends us these opportunities to return or come to him. And I simply ask us, friends, are we listening? If you're not sure you're right with God through faith in his Son, send Charles or I an email or text or something so we can help you understand what it means to surrender to Jesus. No other way will do. Praise team is going to lead us in this song today. And friends, if you've got even questions about today, am I right with God? Because he's sure given me a whole bunch of wake-up calls. I'm not sure what that's all about. Am I right with God?
And as we go forth, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your word to us today that is truly important as we leave here today, that as we enter our mission field, that we are still on duty. We are still in the relationship with you, that we are still a Christian, that we still live the way you require us to live and to do the things you have called us to do. Father, we ask for your Spirit to convict us in those areas that we are still paying too much attention to, that draw us away from fully living, engaged in this world as your ambassadors, your representatives, to be your feet, to be your voice, to be your hands, not only through obedience, but service and love of neighbor, love of our enemies, love of the things of your kingdom. Father, we praise you for the opportunity to leave here right now and to go into the world as your disciples. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.